Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McRavy of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's season opening interview with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
First off, just how are you feeling about the team as you get ready to get the season started this week?
I feel that these guys have put in the time, accepted the process and went through it. As you know, they've done all the things that we've done in the past, I feel like, to give ourselves opportunities to win.
Speaking of, you know, last year had a lot of, from the outside, unexpected success. I'm sure you kind of expected it, but what, looking back on it, what do you think brought about that quick change in the program, going from, you know, one win each of the first 2 years to seven last year?
Well, I don't think it was actually a quick success. I think that the implementation of just program philosophy and where we was trying to go, it was a process. It took a year or two, as it would in any program that's still trying to find itself. I think from the previous year, I thought that although the wins didn't add up into what everybody thought it should, the yardage, our numbers went up in the weight room, passing yardage went up, athletics was getting better, the ability to follow instruction, to look at alignment, assignment, technique, all those things were getting better. But those things, you can't, if wins and losses are not, the loss column is higher than a win, then people don't think you're getting better, but we knew we were getting better.
I guess, what do the guys need to do this season to keep that success and that momentum rolling and then have another good year this year?
Do the things that we know to do that gives us an opportunity, to be successful. We have things we do every day in practice, every day in our community, every day in the classroom to get better. And I think, the more you believe in it and we believe together each play, and we believe that we'll be successful each time we pay attention to detail, each time we play as a team, we're going to be successful.
And then starting off with Warrensburg week one, again, fourth time in a row, just what are you looking for from them, from Warrensburg, and what do you think, shows that you guys had a successful first game, and what can the guys do to start the season off with a win?
I think if we get off the bus and we're physical and we're more physical than them, I can truly say that the pendulum is going to swing our way. I think if we don't do that initially, I think we'll have a long game ahead of us. But I haven't seen very many times that, first thing first, we don't get off the bus and be physical. So anytime we do that, it gives us an opportunity to be successful.
Okay. All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, I'll ask you the same thing I asked Trevor when I talked to him on the Jays podcast. How excited are you for the return of football?
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped to be able to get back out and cover games again.
Right.
It's felt like a long time since last football season, right. So I'm very excited to get back out on the sidelines.
Some ways it doesn't seem like that long ago that we were doing this, but it has been a few months, so it's time to do it again. So this is the time of year that everybody loves. It's kind of an unbridled optimism type point in the season. So it's, we're getting ready for the season opener. The Cavaliers will open the season at Warrensburg. It's going to be a little bit of a different time. It's an 8 o'clock start rather than a 7 o'clock start, since making concessions for the Heat. But it is time to go. And I think after the last couple weeks of, we've had a jamboree, we've had a scrimmage, it's kind of like, I'm sure everybody's ready to go. Let's just get this thing started at this point.
Well, I think, the Cavaliers last season gave fans a lot of reason to have that.
Absolutely.
To have that optimism going into this season,
right.
Especially more than, after coming out of the first two seasons,
sure.
Of the program.
Just, right.
Seeing what, from the outside, I'm sure looked like a pretty impressive jump,
Absolutely.
Year to year. I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the team this year.
So let's just put on our prediction hats early and say, okay, is it the sort of thing where we go, okay, we went from however many wins to 7-3 last year. Do we see another stratospheric jump where we go, the only place to go if you're going to keep making huge strides is go from 7-3 to like 10-0. Well, I don't think we're expecting that, but how much pressure or expectations does that 7 put on things?
I would say the Cavaliers as a program and Collier especially have pretty high expectations to begin with of themselves, and they take it all very seriously, and they believe they have what it takes to do pretty big things. Numbers wise, the schedule is exactly the same as last year. It's just flipped, so homes are aways and aways are homes, but you're facing the same teams in the same order. And the two losses last year were Rockbridge and Helias, and what ended up being pretty close games. I'd say the place where you could definitely, expect is not the best word for it, but think that there's going to be a step forward is that playoff loss against Battle to end the year last year. I think the Cavaliers especially would be hoping they can make it a little farther in the playoffs this year. Rockbridge and Helias still going to be very, very good.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Those will be close, tough matches. But that playoff loss, I think, is where the Cavaliers would say they can take a big step forward this year.
Yeah, again, I think it's, if you look at it all on par, you go, I don't think anybody can be disappointed with how last year went, just because it did go pretty phenomenally,
right.
So, but again, when you're, you didn't ever want to be satisfied, so obviously the next thing to go is, okay, we took a leap, let's take another leap by winning a playoff game and keeping mm-hmm. things rolling at that point. So I guess the main question is, how set up are they for that this year then? I mean, how do things look coming back? Just let's, on a macro level, let's just look at it and go, okay, how well, I mean, how, what do we got returning, and how does the kind of thing shape up in terms of their ability to maybe build on what happened last year?
They're going to have to do a good job in replacing a couple of key components. There's going to be a new quarterback. There's going to be a new dive running back, that main guy taking it up the middle with the loss of Hayden Carroll at quarterback and Hurley Jacobs carrying that kind of fullbacky type job.
Sure.
Cameron Harrison, their main receiver, graduated, so that's another, big, a lot of production that needs to be found elsewhere.
Right.
But I think overall they've done a pretty good job, at least, the last couple of years, building kind of the foundation of the program. And from what I've seen so far and what it sounds like from within the program, they're very excited about what they've got going this year and expect that they'll be able to do a pretty good job replacing those guys.
Sure. So we'll get to the defense in a bit and special teams after that, but let's kind of stick with things here for the offense at this point. If memory serves, they were, they were kind of a pleasant surprise last year in their ability to score.
Absolutely.
So again, your next thought is, okay, depending on who we've got back and depending on how things go, how set up are they in order to still be, able to put points on the board? Because, like you say, the production may not be there, but sometimes you look at it and go, okay, well, we've got somebody that is pretty similar that we can slot in. Mm-hmm. So is there going to be that ability to say, hey, we need, we can kind of replicate this if we need to, or is there going to be some pretty sizable shoes to fill in terms of, wow, we could if we can do this?
I think the biggest thing is system-wise, with Capital City's Veer offense, that got implemented partway through camp last year.
Right.
That was a pretty late change. The guys right. were picking it up, pretty quickly before the season,
sure.
and doing their best to implement more and more as they went along. Now everybody's known that that's what's going to happen. They've had the extra time to work in the system. They have guys returning who have been part of that offense, and know the inner workings of it, have gotten a lot of reps operating it. So I think you'll see the offense is able to do a bit more within the system than they were at the beginning of last year.
Right.
The start of last year was very much like four plays out of five, we're going to be a dive up the middle.
Sure.
Week one and two, and then sometimes you'd get it outside.
Right.
I think this year there's going to be a lot more of just already built in, you know, actually using the second and third option out of a triple option, right? Instead of just it's option one every time.
Right.
So I think, you know, system-wise, I think they can expect that a lot of that is still going to be there, if not be better than where it was at this point last year.
Yeah, I had kind of forgotten that that was kind of, we were still kind of trying to figure that out, and it really didn't hamper their production in terms of points, if you look at it, you know, and obviously things got better in terms of overall maybe complete game efforts as the season went on, but it wasn't the sort of thing where like, whoa, wow, they struggled early on, and it kind of, but it almost seemed like it didn't take them very long to get acclimated, so if there's also that quick pickup this season, then you go, okay, well, maybe this could be something.
Well, it definitely helped last year when they were doing that, you know, almost every play is a dive, that they had Hurley Jacobs, who was
right.
a monster of a kid, just yeah. enormous, and could run up the middle for 5 yards every
sure.
single play.
Yeah.
You know, that helps. If all you're going to do is run up the middle and you have a guy who can get you 5 yards up the middle every
right.
play, it's going to work.
Exactly.
And then you bounce it outside to astounding freshman at the time, Jalen Thomas, who's just shocking everybody with the speed to get around the corner.
Right.
So, you know, that... It helped out that they had those guys ready to go in the backfield
sure.
at the start of last year. You know, replacing Hurley Jacobs is going to be a big task, but they've got a couple of guys who I think can do a pretty good job of that, and Phillip Richardson and Nehemiah Hamilton, maybe Cohen Davis, who transferred from Jefferson City to Capital City this year. I would expect kind of a three-back rotation with Jalen Thomas still being the main guy, but he's probably not going to be your dive guy.
Right.
You know, he's got the speed to take it outside, so why push him up the middle every play?
Sure.
Especially with, like, Phillip Richardson's a big kid. So he's got the type of body to go up the middle. Nehemiah Hamilton, also a very big kid. So if you've got those two really going up the middle, trying to replace that production that you got from Hurley Jacobs last year, and you still have Jalen, you know, more incorporated into the offense early on than he was last year. I mean, it only took a week last year, you know. After week one, he got 100 yards every game.
Right.
But now you've got him week one. You've got him as probably more of the focal point early on. You know, that I think that production is still going to be there.
So let's flip it to the defensive side then. I mean, if you're going to be able to score and you think you're going to be able to score, then obviously the thing you want to be able to do is then stop people. So how, you know, what do they got coming back this year for the Cavaliers on the defensive side, and how, you know, what do we think maybe that needs to happen to take a step forward in terms of that side of the ball this year?
You know, the defense was pretty good through most of last year. A couple of games where they gave up some big plays.
Right.
And that became an issue. But you've got most of the defense returning this year. I think it's six of the starters from last year are still going to be starters this year. And
okay.
kind of, you know, you might see a seventh work his way into a rotation. There's been a little bit of an adjustment because you're getting Cohen Davis from Jefferson City, who led the Jays in tackles last year.
Right.
Yeah, so you're slotting him in at middle linebacker, moving one of your middle linebackers, Marcus Galladay, up to defensive tackle, where
okay.
he can, you know, be more of a nose guard type. So there's a little bit of shifting, but most of the starters are back from a defense that wasn't all, you know, had a couple of games where there were struggles, but was still a pretty good defense overall.
And I guess, it just bears asking, since it's the first time, you know, it's the first week of the season, same scheme then as last year? I mean, anything changing in terms of scheme-wise for the Cavaliers?
It'll still be a base 3-4, but, you know, Coach Collier is always adjusting on the fly during games.
Sure,
they,
right.
You know, they brought pressure where they felt they needed to bring pressure throughout games. So, well, yeah, the base is a 3-4. That'll be what they run most of their plays out of. There's going to be, you know, guys rushing from all different places and all different types of pressure, just depending on what they're seeing during the game.
Yeah. Not to sound like a coach, but we got to talk about all three phases. So we've done offense, we've done defense. How are special teams shaping up? And I know it's one of those kind of, it's almost not like it's been kept a secret, but when we don't see, you know, special teams during the jamborees, it's kind of the one thing we don't know a whole lot about, unless you've been out of practice a ton. But how do the Cavaliers feel about just that side of the ball and heading into the season?
Kicking, you know, kickoffs, place kicking, and punting will all be Phillip Richardson to start. Coach Collier seemed pretty impressed with how he's looked during camp. And then return wise, it'll be Jalen Thomas, Nehemiah Hamilton, and then a freshman named Caleb Terry. Jalen, obviously, electric runner, so you get him running with a head of steam. That's pretty impressive.
Right.
Nehemiah, you know, is a pretty powerful runner, so you get him moving, and he can make something happen. Caleb Terry is a freshman receiver who Coach Collier had pretty high praise for when I talked to him the other day.
Okay.
He was saying, you know, some of the agility, the speed, kind of those types of talents remind him a little bit of where Jalen was at this point last year,
okay.
Which in a smaller body, so not gonna, you know, not expecting him to do the same thing
right.
in quite the same way, but to say somebody reminds you of where a kid who rushed for almost 1,500 yards his freshman year, you know, this guy reminds you of him during camp, that's
right.
pretty high praise.
Absolutely.
So if you're getting him touches in the return game, that could be pretty special too.
So as we mentioned, tonight's game is on the road. We'll start on the road, but then it's kind of like I think maybe everybody's kind of a little more excited about week two than they are about week one, sure. just from the standpoint of, there'll be a home game in week two, and it will be a true home game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Cavaliers are finally ready to open their home stadium on campus. They're not going to be playing home games at Aitken Stadium for the first time in program history, so... the facilities look great.
Right.
I've been, you know, been out there a few times now this fall, this late summer, and it looks fantastic. The field looks, you know, ready to go, and I know the guys are real excited to, you know, get actual home fans out with a stadium surrounded in blue.
Right. There's so much that goes into that just from the standpoint of it. It's just one more little bit of, I don't know, ownership in the program. And you're always asking kids for buy-in, you know, and you're always saying, okay, we want you to be able to do this, and we want to do this, and we want to create a culture. When you're kind of always playing tech, quote-unquote, road games, even when you're playing home games, it's kind of hard to have that kind of feel like, this is our house. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to have that this time around. So that's got to be just huge. It's just got to be something that they can just kind of feel like, it. You know, we are where we need to be right now.
Yeah, and I think maybe with the kids, they might not have noticed it quite as much just because they hadn't had the experience of
sure.
having, you know, their own home field before.
Right.
But there's just something about, you know, Aitken Stadium has a red track and a red scoreboard
right.
and, you know, red all through the stands.
Right.
And, like, even for Capital City home games, you're surrounded by all this Cardinal or J red.
Right.
And now blue track, blue scoreboard, blue
right.
in the stands, you know, you're surrounded by your own colors. It's your place, and you get to open it. You get to be the first kids, you know, out playing on this home field, you know, starting the home part of this program's history.
And I got to imagine just the longer the season goes on and the more practices they have and et cetera, it's just going to become even more comfortable as the season goes on to the point where you just got to go to a certain point. It's just going to be like, yeah, maybe the first week there'll be kind of a let's look around and see everything and kind of, you know, take it in on the first Friday night. But I got to imagine that'll go away pretty quick. And then every time after that, it's going to be like, okay, this feels more comfortable. And mm-hmm. anytime, especially at the high school level where there are so many other variables, anytime you can just give them something to be comfortable in, that's going to go a long way towards making a kid more effective.
Well, and from talking to a few of the players about it, they're very excited just to be able to say they were the first ones
sure.
to be able to open up this stadium. And
yeah.
like they're have been building the foundation of this program the last 4 years, and this feels maybe like not the final piece to the foundation, but a really big one.
Yep.
We got to open the home stadium.
So that's week two. Let's turn our attention back to week one and say, okay, Jay, it's time to go. It is the first game of the season. Everybody thinks they're ready. Everybody wants to come out and get that opening win. Prediction time. Do they get that opening win tonight at Warrensburg?
Yeah, I would expect so. Warrensburg, you know, there's a little bit of a change going on. I know they have new coordinators, offensive and defensive, so
okay.
they might be kind of working into a new system. They have a returning quarterback and returning running backs, returning receivers, so it might not be super tough to pick up, but I think maybe that change will be a little bit much week one, and especially, you know, Capital City's fired up to get out and start hitting people.
Right. So I guess when we get to the final ledger, let's put a point total on it. What do you see the result tonight being?
I'll say Capital City 28, Warrensburg 14. I think Capital City in the future might put up a few more points, but I want to mention they are in a quarterback competition as they go into week one.
Okay.
So we're probably going to see Parson Ocheski seems like he's probably going to get the majority of the reps he did during the Jamboree last week.
Okay.
But Isaiah Franklin and sophomore Evan Schaefer both also got reps, and it sounds like all three of them are going to get an opportunity during the game.
Okay.
So, you know, there might be some switching out drive to drive or quarter to quarter, something like that. So there might be a little bit of disruption in the offense, at least for week one, before this really gets figured out.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabi, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McArabi on Twitter at Kyle_McArabi, McArabi. Thanks for listening.